Take our Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I want to speak to you this morning about the making of a godly mother. The making of a godly mother. I found it very interesting that beginning in the book of Romans, we have several references in the New Testament to Sarah, the wife of Abraham and the mother of Isaac. Several references to her, sometimes by name, sometimes inferred, referring to her as the mother of the free. And we're going to take time this morning to kind of go through the New Testament and share the outline that God gives us from the New Testament about this godly mother, a mother that He made. You know, God is still in the business of making godly mothers. It requires that a woman be saved, first of all, that a woman be submissive to God's Word, and that a mother be obedient to God's Word, and God can make a godly mother. You know, the birth of Isaac marks a pivotal point in the Old Testament Scriptures concerning God's eternal purpose. All of His purposes in regard to Israel began with the birth of Isaac. It's very interesting. You read Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 13, and we find there the promises that are made to Abraham concerning a son that would be born. We read in chapter 12 and verse 2 that He was going to make of Abraham a great nation. How is a nation formed? Well, a nation is formed by having children. Children being born and that nation growing and developing. There was no nation whenever God made that promise to Abraham. God had brought Abraham from the land of Ur, the Ur of Chaldees, brought him over to this promised land. There was no nation. And yet He promised, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Then in the following chapter, in chapter 13 and verse 16, He says of this nation that God is going to form and build, He says to Abram, He says, your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Can you imagine trying to count the dust of the earth? I mean, it's unfathomable. You can't do that. But God said, I'm going to make of your seed, and your seed is going to be so great it'll be like the dust of the earth. Now, years went by. Years went by. By the way, from the time that the promise was given to Abraham until the promise was fulfilled in the birth of Isaac, do you realize 25 years went by? 25 years went by. Well, Abram remained childless. 10 years pass. And we read in Genesis chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt Thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me Thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Now, there's been 10 years since the promise was made to Abraham. And he begins to cry out to the Lord, and he says, Lord, I don't have a son. Will You accept my servant's child and let him be my heir? Now, folks, this is something that is so important to see in the Scriptures. God is going to make a nation, but He is going to do it in His own what? Time. Folks, what is the thing that we battle with? What is the thing that we battle with? We want things now. We want to be gratified now. That is our whole society. Our whole commercial system, our whole business world, everything about this world is geared to the instant. We took my mom out last night to a restaurant. We waited an hour and a half. Everybody else had the same idea. Let's go Saturday night and honor mom because Sunday the restaurants are going to be packed. So everybody went out with us last night and it was all packed. We had to wait an hour and a half from the time we got there before we were able to go back and have our table. We were still finishing up just before 8 o'clock last night, and we got there at 5 o'clock. That was a long time. That was a long time. And you know, the Lord was working on me, patience. Because I was not only aware of the time, but my four children were aware of the time. Daddy, are they going to call us back? Did they forget about us? Can you go ask the maitre d' if they didn't say maitre d', but I told them what it was, the person that was in charge of that. Would you go check and see if they forgot about us? I said, it's packed. You see, all these people around here, they're all waiting too. And so we'll wait, and whenever they call our name, we'll all go back there and we'll have our meal together. Now, what is it about? We want things now. It would have been nice to walk right on in. Oh, here's your table, Mr. Brainerd, for your 14 people. Here's your table, all ready to go. That would have been really nice. And I would have been cheering. But the Lord said, I want you to wait an hour and a half. And so my wife and my mom and Aunt Eva, they went shopping with the girls. And so the guys got to be hold the little beeper thing and wait. As that person came up, I had Brian over there. He was reading the numbers out to us on our numbers, seeing if it was going to be the one. We had our own lottery last night. Reading numbers. We went through about 75 of them before they got to us. Patience. Patience. Oh, what a lesson. What a lesson for Christians. What a lesson for Abraham and Sarah. I'm going to make of you a nation, but I'm going to do it in my own time, and I'm going to do it in such a way that you can't receive the glory for it. Do you know why God makes us wait so many times? Because we're too eager to take credit for what He's wanting to do. One of the great lessons that Sarah had to learn is that, listen, you've got to learn to believe my word and let all the other circumstances, let me take care of that. Because when she does finally have a child, she's going to be 90 years old. 90 years, she had to wait 25 years. The Lord says, I want to receive all the glory and the praise for what I'm going to do. Abraham, Sarah, can you wait? Can you wait? They couldn't wait, could they? Here was the first fissure in Abraham's faith here. Will you please take Eliezer's son? He just had a child. Would you let his son be the heir? It's been 10 years, Lord. 10 years. Then we see another fissure, another crack. Years continue to go by, and Sarah, she comes to her Lord, Abraham, and said, listen, it's been way too long. Obviously, the Lord has decided to choose another method. So I want you to have my servant Hagar, and I want you to take her to wife, and I want you to have a baby, raise up seed. Obviously, the Lord is not going to use me. He's changed His mind. And so He raised up seed, did He not? Ishmael. Did God recognize Ishmael? Man's answer to the problem? So-called problem. By the way, folks, don't try to solve what you think is a problem which may not be a problem. Now, think about that for just a moment. We like to conjure up problems. We see things, oh, that's a problem. We got to go solve that problem. What are we going to do? We got to solve that problem. And God may say, wait a minute, we don't have a problem here. The problem is you don't believe me. That's the problem. Sarah and Abraham said, oh, we got a problem. It's been 10 years. Lord, will you take Eliezer? No, he won't take Eliezer. What are we going to do? Sarah says, it's been way too long. It's been 14 years. 14 years is too long. Obviously, the Lord has changed His mind. We got a problem here. What are we going to do? You take Hagar, raise up seed. We'll have a child, and everything, God will be blessed. And God said, I will not accept Ishmael. I will not accept Ishmael. Look with me at Genesis for just a moment. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and what? Laughed. Well, we get all upset about Sarah. Boy, she laughed. Oh, that was terrible. I've heard some sermons over the years, and boy, preachers go after Sarah. I wish they'd read their Bibles. I wish they'd read their Bibles. She's mentioned more than any other woman in the New Testament. Sarah. Sarah! Sarah! Because she moved from the flesh to faith. We've got a lot of preachers that need to move from the flesh to faith. I'm going to make of her a nation. She's going to be a mother of nations. She's going to be a kings of people. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said of heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Oh, you went out and tried to solve your own problem, which wasn't a problem. Oh, it looked like it. Looking at it through earthly eyes, it looks like a problem, but it's not a problem. It's just a matter of, are you going to follow God's word? Are you going to believe God's word? Are you going to trust him that he's not going to tell a lie? Now, let's look in the New Testament here, because I want to kind of map out for you through the New Testament what God has to say about Sarah and this movement. Number one, first of all, I want you to see that Sarah's womb was indeed dead. Sarah's womb was indeed dead. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 19. We studied this back some months ago. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Different word from the deadness talked about by Abraham in the Greek. Different word here. The word that's used about Sarah is the Greek word necrosis. Necrosis. And it means the state of being dead. The state of being dead. It's used in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10. It's only used two times in our Greek New Testament. Two times. It's used again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, always bearing about in the body the dying, same word, necrosis, of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. It's quite interesting here that both of these verses are in relationship to a form of resurrection. Sarah was indeed dead, but she had a child. How can someone who has a womb that is dead, she could not conceive naturally, bring forth a son? That's the entrance of the what? The supernatural. The supernatural. Please do not take anything away from the fact that Sarah's womb was dead. Special word used to describe that. She could not, humanly speaking, have a child. And he told her, you're going to have a son. And we didn't take time to read it in Genesis chapter 18. We're told that she overheard the conversation about the fact that she was going to have a son, and she laughed and she said, how can I, a woman of 90 years, have a son, have a child? How can my Lord have a child? And he's 100 years old. And she laughed just like her husband Abraham laughed. Now, she denied it, as we're going to see in just a little bit, but let's go on. The Scriptures make clear that she was barren. This important fact must not be escaped. The value of the miracle is diminished if you see Sarah as having some possibility of natural childbirth. That's the whole point of God choosing that word. Don't miss the point. God's going to perform a miracle so that He receives all the glory and honor and praise in the doing of it. This problem weighed heavy on the mind of Sarah and affected her faith and judgment for the future. Whenever the angel came and mentioned it to Abraham that he was going to have a son, she laughed because she says to herself, it's not possible. It's not possible. I know. I know. The promise was made to my husband 25 years ago. And here I am, 90 years old. And the weight of the deadness of her womb was upon her heart. And she tried everything. She gave her handmaid to him. The Lord wouldn't accept that. The Lord wouldn't accept Eliezer's heir. Would not accept any of that. Said, I'm going to have it. And she laughed in her heart. Let me tell you something, folks. We do the same thing. Before we point a critical finger at Sarah and say, how could you laugh at God's promise? We do it on a daily basis. How's the Lord going to provide the money for a missions trip? We didn't make as much money as we thought we were going to make from it. How is He going to take care of that? Oh, are we going to question God? He's worked in such a marvelous way thus far. Is He going to provide? Yes, He's going to provide. How's the Lord going to take care of us? We can't get wind coverage for our buildings. How is He going to be able to take care of us? And we question God. Oh, wait, He can take care of us. Isn't it interesting how He has shielded us over the last 2 years? There has been tornadic activity over the past 2 months that's been unprecedented in the southeast, and He has spared us from that. Now, maybe He won't allow that over a period of time. Maybe He has some trial or affliction He wants this ministry to go through to test the mettle of His people, whether they're going to laugh or not, whether we're going to say, well, we don't believe God's going to watch over. He's taken care of us. Folks, we are like a dead womb. We are like a dead womb. Only the Lord can bring forth spiritual life. If we could get the evangelist of America to understand that, they think somehow we can pump in life. We can bring it in. Boy, the Lord's hand has been on me, so I'm going to preach the same message all over America a thousand times, because I had people come forward and they just preached the same thing over and over and over again, and they whipped God's people with the same message over and over, rather than getting into the Word and get the freshness of the truth of God's Word. Life comes from God. It doesn't come from us. You're not going to get 1 ounce of life from Todd Brainerd this morning. You're not going to get 1 ounce of life from Pastor Watt. You're not going to get 1 ounce of life from Mr. O'Pager in Sunday school class, or you boys and girls in your son. You're not going to get 1 ounce of life, because life doesn't come from humans. It comes from God. God's the one that saves souls. And He did the impossible with Sarah, and He does the same thing with sinners. His Holy Spirit comes and brings life and regeneration and changes people. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit of God that brings about life. And you know what? He also breathes life into homes. He does the very same thing. He will breathe life into your home. You say, well, we already have children. Oh, you can have children and be dead. Moms, you can have children and not be a mother. You understand the difference? You can have children. We've got high school students all across our county that are having babies at 13, 14, 15, 16. But for the most part, they're not moms. They're not mothers. They have no clue about how to raise up a child. Oh, how sad that we equate having birth as being a mother. Nothing to it. There's nothing to it. God took Sarah at 90 years old and He made her into a mother. More than just having a child, but she trained up her child Isaac to follow after the Lord. What a testimony. Isn't it interesting that Isaac never left the land of promise? Never went down to Egypt when he was tempted to. He stayed in the land of promise. He was a godly man. Some years ago, I preached a series of messages on Isaac and how the Lord used him in a remarkable way, how the Lord had used him and changed his life, and the training and teaching that he received in his home. God made a mother at 90 years old, made a godly mother. What a testimony. Well, let's move on here. Let's move on. God's timing. Let's go over to Romans chapter 9, please. Romans chapter 9 and verse 9, second point that I want to make. Here we find reference to Sarah again. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Isn't that interesting? Here's God again, referring to Himself in regard to Sarah having a child. I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Here's the picture. She, of her own volition, she and Abraham cannot have a child. They've had a marriage that's lasted for almost 60 years at this point, and they'd had no children. No children! Not going to have a child. We can't have a child. But God says, I'll come. I'll come. And she is going to have a son. Now, for folks that have a real problem with election, think about this. Did you choose what you were going to be, a female or a male? Did you have any choice in that? Absolutely not. You had no choice. Who did the selection then? Well, you have to understand the gamete and this, they all came together and this is all a chance. No, it's not. No, it's not. God is the one that chooses. You got a problem with election? Then you have a problem with yourself. Because you didn't choose to be who you are. God made you a boy or made you a girl, and that was His glorious choosing to do that. He says to Sarah, you're going to have a son. Well, wait a minute, Lord, I want a cute little girl. Isn't that the modern generation today? I'm so disappointed. I wanted to have a girl. You better praise God you had anything. How about that? But no, we're so selective today. We have governments around the world now that are doing selection of, we don't want any girls in our nation anymore, we just want boys. Well, think about that for just a moment. Think about that for just a moment. You know what? The times are being set up. The times are being set up for the Antichrist to appear because the governments now are getting into the business of selection of the race. We're going to have less females. We're going to have more males. Why is that? Well, God's eternal purpose is being unfolded. Even when man is angry and in his wrath, God turns it around and brings glory unto Himself. Here He says, I will come and Sarah shall have a son. Now think about this. Sarah had issues. She was barren. She was old. She was past her childbearing years. Her husband is 100 and has passed his time of conceiving children as far as she is concerned. Sarah, at this stage in her life, 90 is limited in her faith. She laughs at the possibility of giving birth. She lies and said she did not laugh out of fear. And then she's confronted. This is such an important verse of Scripture. She is confronted on spiritual grounds after her laugh. And this was the lesson of a lifetime. Is anything too hard for the Lord? When she laughed, this was the question. It wasn't about her. It was about the one who made the promise. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It is so interesting in the Scriptures that after this point, she was a different woman. She was a different woman. She believed God, as we're going to see in the passages that we're going to look at here in the New Testament. She believed when she was confronted with this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Genesis chapter 18. It's repeated here in the New Testament in Romans chapter 9 and verse 9. Now, aside from all this, dear friends, I want you to know that God can do anything. I know that we live in the day and age of grace, and I know that we live in a silent heaven now. And that silence is going to be broken with the trumpet sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But folks, I want you to know that the Lord can still save souls. If He couldn't, then I wouldn't be praying for my children. I wouldn't be praying for the children of Grace Bible Church and those that are lost. He's in the soul-saving business still. He's still transforming hearts. He's still calling out a people for His name. And though the world seems to grow more barren, though the world seems to grow more barren and there are fewer and fewer people coming to Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God seems to hover over the corruption of this world, He is still calling out a people for His name in this dispensation. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever get to the place where you think, well, it stopped. No more being saved. Oh, He can still save because He's still the God of the resurrection. He's still the God of the resurrection. He can take that which is barren and bring forth life. He can do that because He's God. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're moving quickly through these. Hebrews chapter 11. Sarah's confronted with the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. For we read there, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because, that's an important word in the Bible, something happened because she judged him faithful who had promised. What was the difference? Was God the difference? Yes, He was. It was the difference in her life because she came to a new realization. It's not about me. It's not about my age. It's not about my abilities. It's about God's power. God said He would do it. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know why He's going to do it, but He said He's going to do it, and I believe Him. I believe Him. I trust Him. I don't believe God would lie to me. She came to a place where she ran out of Hagars. When there's a Hagar in the waiting room, we like to pull her out, don't we? When things aren't going too well, they're not moving fast enough for us. Things aren't happening. Oh, I've got to have this done. We got to go do this. And what do? We reach in, throw Hagar out. Hagar will save us. Hagar will make everything right. She'll bring forth the son of promise. And God says, I don't want your Hagars. I don't want your Hagars. He was found to be faithful in the eyes of Sarah. At that moment, Sarah became a godly mother. At that moment, she brought forth a son, and she reared that son for God's glory, and that son became the child of promise. And from that son came the Israelite nation, just like God said. The Israelite nation. Oh, what a picture is given to us here. Sarah moved from the impossibility of her physical condition and rested on the possibility of the one that made the promise. She judged him faithful who had promised. Literally, the Bible says, she reckoned him to be faithful, the one who promised. We've talked a great deal about this word reckon over the past year or two. It appears in the book of Galatians. It appears in the book of Romans. To reckon means to work from a fixed point. A point that never moves. That's what happened. She had been reckoning up to that point from one that was moving. Oh, there's Eliezer. Let's use his son. He'll be the child of promise. Oh, here's Hagar. We'll have another child through her, and she'll be there. What is that? That's moving targets. We'll work from this angle. No, you can't do that. What they needed to do, what Sarah did, is she started reasoning and reckoning from the fixed point of God's Word. And it was at that point she became a godly mother. How about you, moms? Have you come to that place where you reckon from the fixed point of God's Word? Well, we're not just talking about you individually. We're talking about the actions of your life, how you're training and rearing your children, how you're taking care of your family, your home circle. How do you love your husband? All of those questions that arise there. She became a godly mother when she started reckoning on the faithfulness of God and the promises that were given to her. What a testimony we have here. The promise was important. Now get this now. The promise was important, but the one making the promise was more important. Do you understand the difference between that way of thinking? We like to grab the promises of the Bible. Oh, the promises are so important, but wait a minute. Let's go deeper than just the promise. Let's go to the one who's making the promise. Israel loved God's promises, but she did not love the promiser. That's the story of the Old Testament. She loved the promises, just like we love the promises. But Israel's problem was she never moved to love the promiser. She just wanted to live with the promises. Oh, what a picture. Let's go on. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. What kind of a wife was she? What kind of a wife was she? 1 Peter chapter 3. One of the great passages of Scripture that is in the New Testament dealing with a home. What about a situation where you've got a wife who's saved and a, husband who's not saved? What are you supposed to do? 1 Peter chapter 3 deals with that. Notice the example that's given to us here. Verse 5, "For after this manner is the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God." Did you get that? The holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as, would you say her name please? Sarah. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Purity of life, verse 2. Submissiveness of spirit, verse 5, have always been a godly woman's lasting source of beauty and attractiveness. Young men, what do you look for in a young lady? Well, I want somebody that's pretty. I want somebody that's pretty. I want to be able to put her on my arm and walk around town and everybody say, "Woo, look how pretty she is. And look who got her." Well, wait a minute. Is that what we're supposed to be looking for? No, you need to be looking for purity and submissiveness. Purity and submissiveness. That's the Bible. That's not Todd Brainerd talking here. Purity and, as it says here, submissiveness. Now let's go on in this. That's true beauty and attractiveness. Sarah is chosen as an example, a specific example, of a woman who was submissive to her husband. She obeyed Abraham and even called him Lord, Master, we're told here. She recognized him as the head and leader of their household. That's what she recognized. Abraham is the leader of our home. Like other holy women of the past, Sarah put her hope in God. This kind of conduct gives women the spiritual heritage of Sarah. If you follow in her train, then you're one of the daughters of Sarah. That's the picture that's given to us here. Wives who are fearful are not putting all their trust in God. Wives who are fearful, that's what it says here, are not afraid with any amazement. What was Sarah afraid of? She was afraid she was past her time to have children. She was afraid, "I can't have a child. I can't have a child." That's right, Sarah, you can't. You've got to move from fear of not being able to bear children to trust in what God said. He'll take care of the rest. The Bible tells us that there won't be any fearful in heaven. The fearful are going to be cast into the lake of fire. You know what the fearful is all about? It's not talking about so much dread and terror as it is fearful to step out in faith to believe God's Word. That's what it's talking about. The fearful, they're people that say, "I just can't believe that God will save sinners through His Son, Jesus Christ." They'll die and go to hell because they were afraid to step out by faith. Sarah is an example of one who moved from fear to faith in the Word of God. Let's go on. Final point that I want to make this morning. In Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, very end of the chapter, we studied this in our study of the book of Galatians, but I want you to see that Sarah is the mother of the free. Sarah is the mother of the free. Let's begin reading at verse 24. "Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of" what? "Promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now, Ishmael and Isaac." Here's the picture that's made here. "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture?" Verse 30, important now. "Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Now here's the spiritual application. As Sarah moved from fear to faith to freedom, that's the third point. Fear confines, it's bondage. It will doom your soul to hell. But if you will cast yourself upon the Lord and believe His Word, He will take you from bondage to fear to bondage of liberty. Oh, that's a whole different bondage. That's a bondage that sets us free from this world. It sets us free from our old sinful state and allows us to be able to live for God. The picture of Sarah is, as she left her fearfulness, she left her laughter, which was a fear, I think was a laugh of fear of anything else. She just could not believe that God would give her a child at 90 years of age. But whenever she was confronted with the truth, is there anything too hard for the Lord? She began to realize and began to meditate, and the convicting power of the Word began to work in her heart. And she said, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. The Lord can give me a child at 90 years of age. Lord, I believe Your Word. And she was set free. She was set free. No longer with the pains of, I can't do this. I wonder how many Christians here this morning that keep saying, I can't live the Christian life. Praise the Lord, that's right, you can't. But the Holy Spirit of God can live the Christian life in your heart. Maybe you need to be saved this morning. Maybe you need to be a child of the free woman and delivered from the bondage of the bondwoman. This is the lesson that comes forth from Galatians chapter 4 with the illustration of Sarah. She was in bondage to fear. She came to faith in Jesus Christ. She believed God's Word, and she was set free and became the mother of the free. Are you one of her children this morning? Are you one of her children? Have you been set free from the bondage of sin after having placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Moms, oh, it's so important that you know Jesus Christ so that God can work in your heart and be able to raise through you children that will bring glory to His precious name. That's what happened in Sarah's heart. 25 years she waited. 25 years. Years of turmoil. Years of struggle and conflict. This is not going to happen. God's not going to give me a child. Take Hagar! Oh, how we need to cast out the bondwoman. Don't have her lying in wait anymore to substitute for what God said. Cast out the bondwoman and come to faith in Jesus Christ and know what true liberty is all about. This is the making of a godly mother. She was able to rear up her child in advanced years to bring glory and praise unto the God of Israel. He was the beginning of the promise, the firstborn of the promise. We have folks here, I believe, this morning that need to call upon the name of the Lord, and the Bible says you'll be saved. You can be a child of the free woman and not a child of the bondwoman. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, in this simple Mother's Day message, we've sought to honor and magnify and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, what a testimony You've given to us in the New Testament of Sarah, a woman who was completely dead, physically speaking. She could not have children. Her womb was dead. It was an impossibility. And yet through Your power and might and strength, resurrection power, You brought forth life in her womb, and she brought forth a son as promised by God. Oh, what a glorious testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That which is dead is now alive. And Father, there are folks here this morning that perhaps are dead. They're without the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that they might call upon the name of the Lord. You've told us that if we repent and believe the gospel, we'll be saved. We can do what You've commanded us to do because You provide the power to do it. Maybe there's some mothers here who say, Lord, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. I can't do Your work, Father, because I'm not one of Your children. Pray that You draw mothers unto salvation here today. Others that may be here without Christ, Lord, draw them unto Yourself. We pray, dear Father, that You would work in the hearts and lives of God's people. Lord, what a testimony that's given to us here, that we don't have to live in bondage. We have been delivered from bondage. We are children of the free woman. and now we can live and honor and glorify Thee. We have liberty in Jesus Christ. Father, help us to stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And Lord, this morning as we recognize our moms, I pray, Father, that You would use the Mothers of Grace Bible Church and those that are with us today for Your honor and for Your glory. There are grandmothers here that have a tremendous opportunity to teach and train the younger women. Lord, we pray that they would use their influence to be able to help these young women know how to rear their children, how to be the right kind of mom, how to be the right kind of wife. Lord, it's such an important role. Help us not to lay that aside, but to follow Your precious word. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.